eat all these ingredients, all kinds of great food. And when I go in the restaurant, I say, you're feeding the whole team. So I need a buffet. And they give me the buffet to eat, and I love buffets. In fact, how many believe a restaurant should close up shop unless they're a buffet? Paul himself said, buffet your body daily. So I'd love to go to buffets. But when it comes to what ingredient gets us to heaven, there's only one item on it, and it's Jesus. And that's the message that I want to give to people around the country. And I thank God he's opened up all these doors. Go to Psalm 27 with me. And I want to show you an amazing truth today. Waiting on God is not a waste of time. That's the title of this message. And if you look at the last two verses of Psalm 27, I had fainted. Ever been there? Where you feel like you could just faint? I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In Sunday school, I talked about increasing courage. And what a better way to do that than to wait on God and see him work. Lord, I thank you for this truth. Pray that you'd use it in every heart. God, I pray that the doors would open in 12 schools all around Williamsport and that we'd see a packed out gym there in March. I pray that the folks would pray for it to happen because, Lord, this is a spiritual warfare that has to be fought with spiritual weapons. So we pray that you would open the doors and create an amazing hunger for you and that we'd see a lot of souls saved. Lord, I remember when over 2,500 came to that evening rally 10 years ago, and it has stayed in my mind and how you worked mightily and miraculously. Do it again, and because, Lord, we're in another generation now, and these young people need to hear it again. Thank you that you're helping my body to keep going, and pray that by March I'll still be able to do this and that you would be glorified and honored in that event and that souls would come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 27 talks about waiting on God. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate waiting. Doctor's offices, grocery store lines, and whoever invented a red light isn't saved. Amen? We all hate waiting, don't we? We just hate it. That's why fast foods are so unpopular now. But, you know, when you wait on God, you're not wasting time. You hear somebody say, boy, that was worth waiting for. And when you wait on God, it is worth it. Wow, it is worth it. Now, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. How many believe we ought to still come to church like we're expecting God to work? Expectation. Do you come expecting amazing things to happen? Now, when I wait upon God, I am waiting on a powerful creator. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You mean to tell me that God still works? I believe with all of my heart that we serve a risen Savior, don't we? And he can do things we can't do. How amazing that is. So when I wait on God, I'm waiting on a creator. Now, man invents. Man is an inventor. And man can make something out of something. In other words, God gave man to take the dirt that we see on the ground and make something out of dirt. Did you know that I hold a cell phone right now in my hand that years and years ago would have taken a computer the size of the Empire State Building? And God gave man the brain to know how to take dirt and make one of these things where we send pictures to each other. Now, how all that came from the chemicals of the earth is beyond me. But man thinks he's something because he can invent. Well, I got news for you. Man can never create. A creation is God making something out of nothing. An invention is man making something out of what's already here, God put here. And how many believe creation is far better than an invention? Now, we were created from the dust of the ground. Bible says, unto dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. A little boy said, Mom, is that true that I came from dust and I'm going back to dust? She said, yes. He said, wow, last time I looked under my bed, someone was either coming or going. But we came from dust and we're going back to dust. And it humbles us to think that we came from the dirt. But I have news for you. When you're waiting on God, you are waiting not on an inventor, but on a creator. And that creator makes something out of nothing. So everybody see if you got it. A creation is God making something out of what? Nothing. An invention is man making something out of what? Something. But when you wait on God, you are waiting on one who can bring things to pass that you cannot do. And I remember I pulled my back out and it was so bad, I couldn't get off the floor and it felt like a knife was jabbing me. How many of you have ever been there? Raise your hands. It hurt. And I was laying on the ground and I mean, I could not move. I had two schools to do the next morning that were 4 hours away. And I prayed, dear Lord, do you really want me to go to those schools? And the Lord said, if you go, lo, I am with you always. So I trusted him and went to bed that night, got up the next morning, and I could hardly walk to my vehicle. And while I was walking to the vehicle, I said, Lord, you're with me always. I got in the car, drove 4 hours. I got to the school. Now, here's a major problem. When I got to the school, I could not get my leg out of the car because when I lifted up my leg, it made the knife jab so bad that I couldn't get my leg out. Now, how many would agree with me that I need my legs to play volleyball? So what did the Lord show me to do? He said, use your arms. They're not hurting. So I reached down and got my leg out with my arm. I have a major problem. My other leg is still in the car. And how many believe I need both legs? So I reached down, got that out. And now I'm walking toward the school like a 95-year-old man. And I mean, it was unbelievable. And the principal was standing there at the door. I said, I'm the one-man volleyball team. She said, we'll cancel this. I said, no, bring the kids in the gym. I can't believe I said it. I do now because I said it. But I said, bring the kids in the gym. And they brought them in the gym. And for one solid hour, God took the pain away. When it was over, it came back. Worse than before. So now I've graduated from 95 years old to 125 years old. And I'm walking up to the second school, and they said, we'll change the date. I said, bring the kids in the gym. They brought them in the gym. I played a state championship girls team, a boys team, and the teachers. I have fun in the schools. I play the teachers at the end, and I'll say, if I beat the teachers, you get no homework. And for some reason, they start cheering for me. And I'll say, why are they cheering so loud? They don't do their homework anyhow. But they cheer for me, and I play the teachers. When I got to that gym the second time, when I felt like I was 125, God took the pain away again for one solid hour, and then I could hardly walk to my car afterwards. But you see, at the time that I needed him, he was there. God is a creator. Even my salvation is a creation. God doesn't look at something that's already there and say, you invented the way to heaven, so I'm going to take you to my heaven because you said 50 Hail Marys. God says, I see nothing but a sinner who is dead in trespasses and sins, and I make you a new creation. That's why if any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Creation. In other words, my life is God making something out of nothing. That's why a thief can turn into a giving person. That's why someone who's bitter can turn into a sweet person. One guy said, boy, I was bitten by a dog that had rabies. And he went to the doctor and said, I confirm you have rabies. And he started writing something down like this. And the doctor said, are you writing your will? He said, no, I'm writing every person I want to bite before I die. Now, God can create sweetness out of bitterness. That's why the director of a rescue mission was a guy who sold his baby shoes to get the next bottle of booze, because we are waiting on a creator. So is it wonderful to know that when we're waiting on God, listen to this, we're waiting on the one who stopped the mouths of lions. We're waiting on the one who calms the storms. We're waiting on the one who delivers from a fiery furnace. We're waiting on the one who said, lo, I'm with you always. We're waiting on the one who says, you can't do it, but I can. If you'll trust me and go in that gym, I'll be there at the moment you need me. How many times I've seen that where God says it looks humanly impossible, but you're waiting on a creator. Now, if you're not saved today, I got great news. You say, well, there's no hope for me. You don't know what I've done. God can create something new for you. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. So we're waiting on the one who caused the walls to fall down once they marched around seven times. We're waiting on the one whose builder and maker is God. We're waiting on the one who gave Sarah a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. We're waiting on the one who love this story, and you've all heard it, I'm sure. You're waiting on the one that where the Israelites came to the sea and a wall of water formed as they marched across and drowned the enemy. How many believe that was not a myth? That really happened. Now, Episcopal false prophets of the Episcopal Church will tell you it was just a myth. No, sir, it was history. Amen. It happened. Say the miracles happened. Everybody say that. Miracles happened. And I've preached this for so many years. If God wanted to build a wall of water, now he could do it. How many believe that? So guess what God did to prove I was preaching right? He built me a wall of water. What? I'm going to show the picture of it to you so you don't go away doubting Thomas's. This really happened to me. I lived in New Hampshire before I moved to Tennessee. And we have a picture of the house right here. We're on the side of a mountain now, and there's an incline like this, and the up above that goes through a culvert and takes the water through the other side of the street so we don't lose our house. Takes the water. One spring, it got so bad, you wouldn't believe this. The water, I'm telling you, I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I heard... It scared me. Like one lady just got scared back there and jumped. Can you imagine how that'd be written in the local paper? Evangelist preaches, woman has a heart attack during his sermon. But I woke up and I was scared. And I looked my flashlight out the window. And that brook, the snow came down off the mountain, filled up the culvert. And the water from the rain was making all that brook come right to my front door. Water was coming in through the front door. We can't get flood insurance on the side of a mountain because you're supposed to be in the valley to flood. Well, the water's gushing into the house, and if it destroys the house, we lose our house, and we still have the mortgage. So what happened? Next time I come back, I'll tell you the rest of the story. No, this really happened, and I'll show you the picture. God said, you've preached for years that I can still build a wall of water, so I'll show you I can do it. So here's what happened. All of a sudden, my wife's scrambling to get blankets and towels to keep the water from coming in. But how many of you agree with me? You cannot stop water. She's frantic. All of a sudden, we just decided to pray. Isn't it funny how we pray as a last resort? So we prayed, and then all of a sudden, after we prayed, the sound got 10 times louder. I looked out the window. I mean, it looked like a Niagara Falls coming at my house. And I won't illustrate how loud it was that time. But water stopped coming through the door. And I looked at my wife. I said, honey, this water is going 10 times worse. How could this water not be coming under the door? And God reminded me, didn't you just ask me to stop it? How many believe God answers prayer? So you say, next morning I found out how God stopped it. He built a wall of ice in front of my door. Now, ice is a form of water. So he built a wall of ice about this tall, about that thick, and it covered the front door and made the water go to the other side of the road. Here's the picture. So for doubting Thomases who aren't saved, God can do what you can't do. He can save your soul, and he can answer prayer and do mighty things. Can you say amen? Now, I didn't go out there and build that at 2 o'clock in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. No, sir. Dear God, please stop the water. God says, okay, you've preached something for years, and I'm going to show you that I'm God, and I can do what you can't do. I've got a question. Is he worth waiting for? Yes or no? What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Was I afraid with that water? Absolutely. Emmanuel, his very name means God with us. God with us in front of the house, doing what you can't do. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed, but let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Therefore, I will look to the Lord and wait for the God of my salvation. Wait removes worry. When you wait on him and God starts creating things that I can't build, then all of a sudden I look back and say, wow, now I can glorify God and show what God does that homes can't do. And then he gets glorified. And how many believe God deserves glory? For the next generation. You say, why in the world do you want to reach the teenagers? Why is it important to you that teenagers, every one of them is so vital to me? Because God died on a cross to shed his blood for every life. Every life. And how many believe we ought to be burdened that every teenager in America will hear the gospel? And I prayed for that, and God's beginning to open up doors now in Washington, D.C. I may possibly have a chance in the near future because they're working directly with Chris Christie and some of the other men that are working directly with the president. And the president said there is a national emergency right now of teenagers dying all over the place. One school just had 6 suicides. There is a national emergency. So they're trying to line up a time. I was already set to do this. I think it was like 7 years ago or so. No, it was actually sooner, 4 or 5 years ago. I was set up to go on the White House lawn and play volleyball, and that was when Obama was in. And I was going to have an event at the White House lawn. They were going to set up a net and everything, talk about the teenage problems. Then this guy came running across the line and the White House lawn, and everybody gets scared, and security didn't want any visitors. So I wasn't able to go then, which actually it's better now that we have Trump in there. And I said, can we get Trump to play? And they said, we'll try our best. And if he's there, we'll have him on the front row, and he'll do what others can't do. I'll let him get a spike in, and he'll nail me. And I said, if I beat the White House team, can I mess up Trump's hair? And they said, yes. So I don't know if it's going to happen, but pray that it does. But I'm going to say, I don't care if he's in front of me or not, I'm going to say, why doesn't somebody fight to get the Bible back in our schools? You know, it's amazing to me that presidents in the past, even Obama, said, let's pray for the victims that got shot in the school. But then they're told, the victims that are being shot, you can't pray at a football game. Wow. But in a day when all this stuff is happening, do not worry, wait. Somebody wrote this, during years of blissful ignorance, I ate bacon and eggs without thinking, without fear. Now I can't even look at an egg without thinking, you killer. You're going to clot and poison me. So I began cutting back on cholesterol, and I read certain things were good for me. So I ate muffins, fruit fiber cereals, but they have sugar. And I've been told that sugar is a killer, so we're advised to use substitutes. But now we're told, he said, substitutes cause cancer in rats. So then he started eating apples, and he read, apples have a cancer-causing spray. Then he said, I'll eat chicken, and chicken has the possibility of salmonella poisoning. Fish has iodine, and on the list goes. He concluded his readings by saying this, I have become afraid to open my refrigerator. Can I give you the solution to the whole mess? Bless the food and eat. Because if you worry about what you're eating, you're going to get sick worrying about it. So partake. The Bible says even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So we're waiting on the one who even has a hair numbered. And I read this about hair. On every human head, there are between 100,000 and 150,000 hairs. Even those that are bald have unseen hair called vellus variety hair. Unseen by the human eye. So those of you who have no, who are bald, just say to yourself, I have vellus variety hair, and don't you forget it. And I'm also a cat lover. But anyhow, private joke from our men's conference. But say to yourself, I will understand that right after God says, I got the hairs of your head numbered, he says, fear not. Now, rest is the opposite of worry. John Wesley said, I had no more worry than curse God. Now, sometimes you don't think you're getting the answers you need, but you can still wait on God who has the answer. Somebody fed into a computer. More people are tripping and falling from the top step of an escalator, and many are falling at the bottom of the escalator. What's the solution? And the computer said, remove the top and bottom stair. So sometimes you don't think you're getting the answers you need. But I'm so glad to know that God has all the answers. I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. All of them. And he has the hairs of our head numbered. So I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So God is so personal. He says, if you'll wait on me, I'm there before you get there, like I taught in Sunday school. And he said, I am ready to be there and meet you right there. If you'll just say, I'm not going to be an atheist and worry. One lady had an atheist neighbor, and she wanted to witness to her atheist neighbor. So every time God blessed her, she'd say it real loud, amen, praise the Lord. And the atheist would holler, there's no God and you know it. Well, one day she was praying for groceries, and the next day 7 bags of groceries were on her porch. She was about to have a spell for the atheist. She looked in her front yard, and her bush was moving. She didn't know it, but the atheist was hiding behind her bush. He looked up before she was about to have a shouting spell and said, God didn't give you those groceries. I put them there. And she said, well, praise the Lord. God not only provided groceries, but he made the devil pay for it. So she kept on praising anyhow, in a very unusual way. But we have, ladies and gentlemen, a personal God who's worth waiting for. In the spring of 1924, Jack Sundin was a 4-year-old little boy waiting to shake the hand of President Calvin Coolidge. And everybody was coming along, shaking his hand. The little boy was ready to shake his hand. And the president looked down and said, Sonny, move along, move along. Am I ever glad the creator of the universe doesn't say move along. I'm so glad he cares for all of us. And God is there. There's a hymn, I don't know who holds the future, but I don't know what the future is, but I know who holds the future. Right? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, the Bible says, and he will sustain thee. So what's the answer to being sustained? What's the answer for me not hopping the church and trying to find a place where there isn't any trials? Or trying to find a place where there isn't any human beings? Well, you just went there, so there's a human being there. What you ought to say is, I am going to wait upon God who will never fail me, never forsake me, though man does, and man will fail you. Now, I'm praying for what I'm going to preach tonight, and I do not want one person to miss tonight's message. It is vital. What I'm going to bring out tonight is something you've got to hear. Now, I was going to say, is anybody not coming tonight? And if one hand went up, I'd preach both of them right now. So how many will do your best to come out tonight? Raise your hands. Please hear tonight's message. We're waiting on one who can do when I'm weak, then am I strong, because God's strength comes when we come to the end of ourselves. I was in an accident and God did this. Think of what's said during trials. I couldn't breathe and had to have an oxygen mask, and the Lord. I didn't know how I was going to look up to see bottom. I had no job, and God had groceries there all the time. There was no human way out, and the Lord did this. So he receives glory. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when thy labors increase. Through added affliction, he addeth his mercy. Through multiplied trials is multiplied peace. Wait on him. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purposes. He knows everything about us, including persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecuted I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now I had four things happen in 1 year. This really happened to me. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. How many of you believe that that actually means that everything that happens, happens on purpose? Raise your hands. Now, if that's the case, you should never have a disappointment, because everything that happens in our life is appointed by God. Have a disappointment, you have a broken appointment. But if you would recognize that everything that comes to you comes because God appointed it, then you won't have a broken appointment, because your mind thought something different than what God thought. So if we can understand that God brings everything to us, we will never have a broken appointment. So you can go through the rest of your life and never have a disappointment. If we get a hold of Romans, now it doesn't say in Romans 8:28 we know all things are good, because how many of you would agree with me, the Christian life is like a math class, one problem after the next. True? So what you got to do is this, what Romans 8:28 said. It all works together for good. It isn't all good, but it works together for good. Now, how many of you in the church love homemade bread? And how many would agree a woman's not right with God unless she makes homemade bread? It is a sin to serve Wonder Bread. Right? I love homemade bread. And the next night I preached that at church, a lady brought in 7 loaves of homemade bread for me. And that night I got up and preached, I love Cadillacs. It didn't work though. But every single item that makes up homemade bread is absolutely horrible. Nobody's ever eaten salt by itself. Ooh, salt, yeast, flour. But once it comes together, it's delicious. If you look at just the salt by itself, you'll be discouraged. I can't eat just this salt. This is what Christians do. We stare at something that's wrong. Now watch me close. You're sitting out here in the church, and you're looking at it. Could we put the screen up again for me? That would be great. Thanks. So we're looking at this wreath behind the screen, nice, beautiful green wreath that you can't see, but I can. But you look at the front of the church, and it's beautiful. And but if I was to get up close, there may be a discrepancy somewhere. And let's just see if there was. You don't have to bother with the screen. But there's a discrepancy somewhere, and it looks pretty good to me, but I may find something if I get up close that you don't see. And if I find something, it's the last time I'll ever preach here. Oh, I see a little spot. A little spot that needs paint. Here's what Christians do. Well, I'm not going to sing the hymns like I used to. He offended me. Well. Now what happens is we miss the whole picture of the beauty of what God's doing, because we look at the salt. And we get mad at the salt. But once God cooks it, and the trials of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work. In other words, let the salt and the yeast and the flour work itself into homemade bread. So all things work together for good. All things aren't good. But when the bad happens, say to yourself, it's appointed unto me, so I'm not going to be disappointed about this. I'm going to say, God, the devil wants me disappointed, so I'll get a bad spirit and not help anybody. So even the persecutions and afflictions were appointed unto me in Antioch, Lystra, and so on. Ask John the Baptist if everything turned out with his head. Ask John Bunyan if everything turned out smooth in prison. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? No, I must fight if I would win. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrow, like sea billows, roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it's well with my soul, was written when a ship went down and people died. Now, you know what I'm talking about. Lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And for this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I'm going to take this infirmity that's salt. I'm going to take this infirmity that's flour. I'm going to take this infirmity, and I'm going to say, God, it's coming all to me on purpose to make me stronger and more like Christ who suffered also. So I am not going to give up, not going to throw the towel in, because God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, but it takes patience to wait for the bread. We'd all like to take the salt, yeast, and flour and throw it in a bowl and say, woo, come along. But we don't want to wait whatever minutes it takes to cook. I had 1 year when everything went wrong. I hit an 18-wheel truck. Now, I've decided I'm going to take on volleyball teams, but not 18-wheel trucks. And I hit this truck, and my van spun around 3 times, and my face is against the window, bloody. My neighbor came by and saw my face against the window. Later, I told her I was just posing for you. My face was bloody, and they cut me out with jaws of life and rushed me to the hospital. I got to the hospital, and the doctor said, if you hadn't hit the truck, the state policeman came to my bedside and said, if you hadn't hit the truck exactly where you hit it, you'd have been crushed to death within 1 inch. And I said, God knows about 1 inch. He said, you probably won't be playing volleyball for a long time. Well, praise the Lord, the great physician knew better than the earthly, and the next week I had about 40 games. And he said, you have a hematoma. Now, I don't know if you're like I am, but I hate when doctors use words you don't understand. A hema what? He said, you have, and you'll notice here, I won't open it up to show you, but it's like bigger than a golf ball on my collarbone. He said, what happened is your seatbelt grabbed your collarbone, and it caused a new bone to be formed. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm evolving. Before long, another arm's going to be coming right out here. I'm going to entertain circuses all over the nation. But hematoma, all that happened to you. A few months later, my wife miscarried her baby. A few months after that, we had a flood that did $7,000 damage from another situation like I just told you. And then my wife found out her stomach was upside down behind her heart. And it took a surgeon's 7 hours to straighten her belly up all in the same year. Now, what's God saying? I'm making homemade bread. Hang in there. Don't quit. I'm working things out. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. So God, I'm going to give you time to create some more here. I'm not going to get discouraged, not going to lose my spirit like I talked about in the men's conference. I'm not going to fear, but I'm going to say, God, you're in control. You're going to work it all out. Thou has every answer I need is from God. But God wants to say, you need me. Like when our children say, I need you, Dad. Do you want to be needed by your kids? How often do we say, God, I need you, and without you, I can't possibly do this? For whatever reason, I have no idea. But for whatever reason, this morning, I could not open my eyes when I woke up. And I said, dear Lord, I want to preach to these people, and I haven't learned yet what it's like to be blind, but my eyes were stuck shut. So I ran a little ice cubes on my eyes and eventually got them open, and they're as red as tomatoes. I have no idea what's going on with me. But I am going to say this, God, I need you so much because I want to be a blessing to that church. And God opened my eyes and helped me through that. Went Walmart, got Visine, and was feeling quite a bit better. But, oh, it doesn't take money, God. I have no money. But, God, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And, God, if I don't have money, it's not money that's going to solve this. It's you that's going to solve it. Do you know if the average temperature of the earth were 3 degrees warmer or 3 degrees colder, we'd freeze to death or burn up? So I guess I might say God knew where he was putting the earth. And if the earth was just 10% closer to the sun, we'd burn up. 10% further, we'd freeze to death. So the same God who created this world says, wait on me. I know all the answers. I got to tell you what happened. My furnace at home in New Hampshire, when I lived there, had a crack down it in August. It's condemned. And they said, you're going to have to replace it, $10,000. And I prayed, dear Lord, I don't have $10,000, but you do. And I said, dear God, please provide, because we need our furnace. What you're experiencing right now is what we have weeks of up there. We had 25 below zero for about 3 weeks in a row. Go outside. Now I heard that recently in New Hampshire, they had colder weather than Antarctica. And they were taking boiled water and just throwing it in the air, and it became snow. It was that cold. So I need my furnace. And then I was praying for a way to get the gospel on sin and judgment on TV, because I had heard Joel Osteen say on a talk show, I don't preach on hell or judgment. And I thought to myself, half the Bible is about judgment and different things God did to judge. So what he should have said on the talk show is, I don't preach half the Bible. To be truly honest. And we're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. Right? So I said, dear God, is there some way I could get a message on TV on judgment and love? And then I was praying for a way to have 3 cameras film a show, an exhibition in the gym when I'm playing the volleyball. 3 cameras. A total stranger called me in August. He said, are you anywhere near Carrollton, Texas? I said, let me look at my calendar, because most of the time I don't even know where I'm at now. So I looked at my calendar. By the way, it's so good to be in Texas today. So I looked at my calendar, and it said Texas, and I said, I'm going to be 5 minutes from you. He booked me in the school. I walked in the gym. Ready? I walked in the gym. Guess what was in the gym? 3 cameras ready to film the assembly. The guy said, I'm a movie producer. Our movie star canceled. Can we film your program? I said, sure. He filmed it, and when it was over, he said, here's the footage. It's all yours. We love what you're doing. That night, the TV producer came to the evening program. Guess what I was preaching on? Judgment, hell, and the cross. He looked at me and said, this wasn't the feel-good gospel. This was the truth. Do you mind if we air it on TV? I said, no, that'll be a second answer to prayer. Then, when it was all over, the same guy handed me a check for $10,000 that paid the furnace. I said, are you an angel? He did not answer me. Haven't heard from him since. And he disappeared into thin... No. But you say, what are the chances of that happening? God, they that wait upon the Lord, it's a worthwhile thing. You're not wasting time. Pray, he answers prayer. He answers prayer. Do we have time to pray? If God does everything and does nothing but an answer to prayer, then I'm certainly not wasting time to pray without ceasing. But my supply all your need according to his riches, according to his riches, not according to your ability to figure it all out, but according to his riches and so on. So I wait upon him, and there's times where we try to figure it all out, right? I know how it's going to happen. The schools all over the country can't afford budgets anymore, so I know how it's going to happen. God's going to lead me to 10 wealthy men that are all going to say, we're supporting you every month so you can go to schools and do what you're doing. That easy, right? No, God may have a whole different idea. And all these years I've kept thinking, couldn't I just find 10 Christian businessmen that would just say, we're doing this every month, and you could go to schools and not have to worry about whether they have money or not, and just go do it. But in 35 years, it's never happened. But I'm still going to keep going, because how many think we need to keep reaching the kids, whether they have budget or not? So I'm begging the Lord for monthly support like a missionary. But I'm going to tell you this. I know my God shall supply if I wait upon him. I got to tell you another story. This is really amazing. I got home at 2 in the morning. I was so tired after playing volleyball all day long. I didn't just get sleepy at the wheel. I was almost home, and they tell you, watch out when you're almost home, because 90% of accidents happen when you're almost home. I fell completely asleep at the wheel. And when I did, my car veered to the left. And I woke up on this mountain road where it's about the width of a vehicle and trees on each side. And I woke up. I said, oh, thank you, Lord, that you took the steering wheel for me while I was asleep, because I was still right in the middle of the road, hadn't hit a tree. And then I turned the car around to go back to the main road and realized I'd gone 2 miles. And I said, thank you, God, that 2 miles is nothing to you. You say, you couldn't do that. No, I couldn't. I was asleep. But God can do. He can take what you have in your hand. A rod? You know what I mean? I'm shy. I'm a teenager that's been through, you wouldn't believe. Can God use me? One girl was molested in 13 foster homes, and she went to every one of her child molesters and said, I forgive you because God forgave me. How many would say God used her? Well, you don't know. You don't know what I've been through. God can take whatever it is, if you wait upon him, a creator, and take a slingshot and 5 stones and kill a giant. A little girl stood near a small church from where she'd been turned away because it was too crowded. She said, I can't go to Sunday school, she sobbed, as the pastor walked by. Seeing her shabby, unkept appearance, the pastor guessed the reason and took her by the hand and led her inside the church so she'd have a place in the Sunday school, small room. The child was so happy that they found room for her that she went to bed that night thinking of all the kids around her that couldn't fit in the room. 2 years later, the child was dead in one of the tenement buildings. Her parents called to the kind-hearted pastor who had befriended their daughter to handle the final arrangements. As her poor little body was being moved, a worn and crumpled red purse was found, which seemed to have been rummaged by some trash dump. Inside this purse was a note that said, amongst 57 cents, scribbled in childish handwriting, which read, this is to help build the little church bigger so more children can go to Sunday school. For 2 years, she had saved for this offering for the Sunday school, and when the pastor tearfully read the note, he knew instantly what he was going to do. Carrying the note and the cracked red pocketbook to the pulpit, he told the story of her unselfish love and devotion, and he challenged his deacons to get busy and raise enough money for a larger building. But the story didn't end there. A newspaper heard the story and published it. It was read by a wealthy realtor who offered them a parcel of land worth, in our day, millions of dollars. He offered it in a very unusual way. When told that the church couldn't pay for the land, he said, I want to sell it to the church for 57 cents. Church members made large donations, checks came from everywhere, and within 5 years, the little girl's 57 cents grew to a gigantic building seating 3,300 and a college and a hospital. What's this? I'm going to tell you a shocking truth. I hated sports growing up. And if somebody would have said, you're going to play sports and even play more games than anyone's ever played in history, right. I was always the last one to be picked for a team. How many know what that's like? That's why I play by myself. Nobody wants to play with me. It's lonely. Lonely life. But you say, a volleyball in the hands of somebody who didn't even know who Cal Ripken was when I played him? Somebody's working on the Heat playing me later on. And I said, I don't know who the Heat is, but they'll have to turn up the Heat to beat me or whatever I said. And it's a basketball NBA team or something. And it doesn't matter to me who plays me as long as God's there and using the message and reaching somebody. And I said, a volleyball? I hate sports. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He created it not in vain, but he formed it to be inhabited. So in all eternity, God knew he was going to create the earth for you to live here. And if you could say, by the grace of God, I'm going to give my life to the one who's known me forever. And I'm going to wait upon the one who's thought about me zillions of years. And I'm going to wait on the one, I'm now a certain age. And so are you. And God can take wherever you are and reveal to you that you've gotten to know yourself that many years. And God says, I've thought about you forever. Will you wait on me so I can work through your little pocketbook? Will you wait upon me? So you don't have to sit there saying, well, I guess I'll just come to church and spectate. And I won't let this church be like all the other ones where only 10% of the people do the work. I'm going to get involved because God can use me no matter how shy I am. I was shy growing. Oh, my. I remember my parents took me to a counselor because I couldn't even talk to one person. My head would be down like this and I couldn't talk. But when I asked Christ to save me, how many believe the Spirit of God comes in and he can make a difference? I heard somebody say once, you ought to be so filled with the Spirit, if a mosquito bit you, it would fly away singing, there's power in the blood. But he can do what you can't do. A creator. And God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet to the nations, and God knew it forever. So every life's important. Every single life. Let me finish with this. God could have left, could have screamed from heaven, Holmes, repent or perish. But God said, I'm not going to scream to you to repent or perish, but I'm going to become flesh and dwell among you. God became flesh and dwelt among us. How many believe Jesus wasn't just a religious teacher? That was God walking on the earth, right? So when God came here, he proved that he loved us by dwelling among us. And then I got a burden because I was traveling as an evangelist for 6 years and people were saying to me, I've tried 40 people, nobody would come with me to the church. So I was praying, God, how can I go to the woman at the well where she is and talk about the water of life and somehow reach people outside the padded pew and not wait for them to come to the padded pew to get the gospel to them? And God, I had a terrible back that after 6 years, I couldn't even walk. And a chiropractor was adjusting me and saying, why don't you just play volleyball or something? You're out of shape. So I played volleyball against church people, and 300 times I began to beat people. Not thinking I was going to be a one-man team. But I started beating people, and then I thought maybe that could be an exhibition that I would take in schools, and one thing led to another. And now 5,500 schools later, God has opened up the door to 5 million people. Now, it started out where I didn't set out to do this. People say, you must have been an Olympic player before. No, I've never been on a team, ever. I wouldn't know what to do if somebody was standing next to me. I've tried playing volleyball with a team, and I'm standing there like, what do I do now? But I'm going to be honest with you. If I would have said this is all for the volleyball, and not for helping people know that God left heaven and came down to earth and took off his suit and tie to dwell among us? Maybe I could be down to earth if God came down to earth. Maybe I could take off my suit and tie and just go where the sinners are, invite them to a rally to hear the gospel. And by the way, that's what Jesus did. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How many believe that's true? The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is what? Lost. And when the Pharisees saw Jesus eating with sinners, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Because I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And do you know who has been the hardest person to get in with since I started reaching the world and going in front of the world like this? And I'm not saying it to be critical. I'm saying it because people get confused sometimes. It's been 10 times harder to get in churches than to get in the schools. I sent out an email to 2,000 churches about the miracle of what God has done to get me in front of this lost world. You say, how many of those 2,000 churches that criticize the humanism and how bad kids are, how bad things are? I imagine out of 2,000, you must have booked 400 meetings. I had 4 people write back. 2 of them said, remove me from your mailing list. The other 2 said, I know you and I want to book you. Out of 2,000. How many would agree with me that we need to start caring again? We're so snug and we're in a warm building and we're on a padded pew. But will we say, God, take that thing that's in my hand, whatever it is, and use my life? Because if somebody doesn't get saved, they're going to burn in a fire forever! God, I don't want to treat this thing indifferently. I want to wait upon you to somehow get me. And I've been begging God, help me before I die and leave this earth to get me in front of every teenager in America somehow. And there's a guy right now, I couldn't get over it. He fell in love with what I was doing. He owns a gaming company. He said, I'm sick and tired of all the violent games. He said, it's time we have an electronic game where one guy is playing a team and the enemy is bullying and drugs and alcohol, and the things that will be destroyed are the things that are destroying them. And I said, how many people will this game be made for? He said, there are 3 billion gamers in the world. Most of them are young people. And he said, we're going to try to get you in front of all 3 billion of the gamers. And I said, praise the Lord. He's beginning to answer that prayer. So someday you may have a game where you can sit there and play against your pastor and his friends. But the truth is, I want to reach people. And how many believe this generation needs to be reached? And let's go personal. How many believe Williamsport needs to be reached? I'm going to finish. Because you're coming back tonight. There was a noise in the back of the church, and people didn't know what was going on, so they turned around, and a man walked in, all ripped pants, and it wasn't the design, by the way, ripped pants, and he looked very grubby, and he came through the back door. And he tried to find a seat. Watch me. He was in the back. It was full. Full house. And this was a very wealthy church. Lamborghinis were in the parking lot, just like they are in this church. And he looked to the right and the left, and full, looked this way, and full, this way, it was full. He got all the way to the front pew, and guess what? It was full. The guy sat down on the floor on the carpet to listen to the sermon. Another noise happened in the back, and it was a metal sound. And they turned around and saw the 85-year-old crippled deacon trying to stand up with his walker. And he got out on the aisle and started walking forward, you know, as a crippled man would. It took a while. And he's walking forward. And then he got to the front and he said, would you please take my walker and help me down? And that crippled guy got down and sat next to the man who came in. And God used him because the pastor's heart broke. He said, you've heard me preach many, many sermons, but you just saw one of the greatest sermons of what Jesus did when he actually ate with public. Our deacon loves you, and the guy got saved. But I want you to know something. God can use you whatever, if you just surrender and say, I'm going to wait on a creator who created my salvation, but I'm going to, oh, by the way, workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do those good works. So as you do good works, it has to be God doing those things. It has to be a red purse that God tells us to put 57 cents in. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you. This could go on and on and on, but Lord, I've got to honor and respect the fact that people have schedules. Dear God, I thank you for being God. Thank you for being a God that can work even though it's 2018. I pray that we would all say, here's my 57 cents this morning. God, I want you to use my life. How many would say the message challenged me to wait on the Lord more? Raise your hands, because it's not a waste of time. Lord, I beg you and I plead with you to open up the schools around Williamsport. How many will faithfully pray that God uses Tom, Brother Tom Henderson, to get the assemblies lined up? How many will pray for that? Because God answers prayer. Thank you. Surrender to the Lord and say, God, I wait on you because you know me so well to work in a great way. Pastor's going to come and give the invitation however you normally do. If you feel the need to use the altar, you come and say, God, use me, help me to wait on you. Is there anybody today that would say, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to be created in Christ to a salvation that's so wonderful that doesn't depend on my own works but depends on the finished work of Jesus on the cross? Is there anybody today that would say, I want to put my faith and trust in the one who can create a salvation for me? Would you raise your hand real high? Anybody at all? How many of you can honestly say, I know I'm saved today, not because I'm good, but because I accepted a perfect Savior who took my place on the cross to be my Savior, and I know I'm saved? Raise your hands. Now, is there a world around us? Is there a Williamsport around us? Yes, there is. Will we come down the aisle and sit with the sinner and say, we want Bob in the schools, so we're going to work hard and pray hard that God will open the door so this evangelist can take off his suit and tie and mingle among sinners, even though it's not the popular thing? Even though I heard one guy say, we don't do all those gimmicks. Heard another guy say, he said, Bob, we're not into that. And I thought, what in the world? 35 kids come up to me, showing me their razor blade cuts, and I'm hearing all the time, well, we don't do those kind of things from the church. God, break our hearts. Give us a burden. In Jesus' name, amen, Pastor.
Well, my only question today after Bob asked about if you've trusted Christ as your salvation is, have you come to that Romans chapter 12 where you have dedicated your life to the use of Jesus Christ? My life is yours to control. Pastor Tom, come lead us in this. And 394 in your hymnal. The first, we're just going to not sing the first, not the first stanza, the first playing through it. We're going to listen. Ask the Lord to work in your heart. Is that the case? Have you dedicated your life to the Lord to control? We'll just listen to as it's played first, and then we will sing the song. Okay? Let's listen to it played through first.